fire storm. I remain on.
Through the fire of stone, I remain on.
Trial by fire.
Trial by fire.
It's the trial by fire.
It's the trial by
through the fire
of
storm, I remain on. It's the trial by fire.
Welcome, everyone, to the Armchair Bookers Podcast. I am your host, Joshua Joslin, and in this episode, man, it's all about WrestleMania XL, baby. I have my serious voice on because this, my fans, my friends, my family, this is what it's all about. This is our Super Bowl weekend. We get two nights of wrestling that is going to be absolutely entertaining, amazing, just everything in between. It is going to be a WrestleMania that it's huge, it's stacked, it's monumental, it's an unreal card. It has crossed two nights, and it needs to be this weekend. Wow. So, get back to my regular Armchair Booker voice. It's time to get into my predictions as to what is going to happen this weekend at WrestleMania. What's crazy is, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to cover any of the massive events that are going on right now as we speak and all the way through to Sunday and I believe even Monday during the day, possibly, most likely just Sunday, and then most of them pack up and leave. Satellite shows that are happening. Ring of Honor has Supercard of Honor tomorrow night. I will be there by the time you're listening to this. I don't know. It's Friday night. When the event is, I will have been there, will be there, whenever you're listening. Anyway, AEW has events coming around. All the promotions, all the indie promotions around the area. Just a ton of great wrestling that cannot be covered all in one episode, especially with the card that we're talking about with Mania XL. So, with that being said, let's hop into it. Lots to predict. Let's go. Night one. Okay, so luckily this year, the card has been confirmed early enough where I can talk about it early enough, but hopefully people can hear this early enough and then watch the show and hear how correct I was in my predictions across both nights. Excuse me, because that is what I do. I am the armchair booker. I know. I might not know, but I'm going to try to guess, I guess, really. Okay. I don't know if this is the match card order. I doubt that it is, but I'm gonna just kind of start with what I cut and pasted in terms of what the card is. So, we have Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Okay, it's tough to predict this card, this match, because it was so rushed. In terms of throwing Dominic Mysterio in there and Dragon Lee. Yes, both Dom and Dragon Lee have history with the other two people involved. All four have history with each other. So I like that, but it does feel a little bit like they squished two other people into this match to make sure that they're on the card, which stinks, but if you're going to step back away from the build and watch it for what it is, this is going to be fantastic. I'm talking lightning quick, seamless moves. Every movement will have a purpose between the four of these gentlemen. I'm very excited to watch this match. I'm hoping... Well, hold on. I'll get into that in a second. I know that they're pushing Dragon Lee really hard, as well as Santos Escobar. I think Dragon Lee, they're hoping to make the next Rey Mysterio. In a sense, obviously, nobody's going to fill the boots of Rey Mysterio. But in terms of the constant underdog wrestler, Dragon Lee fits the mold. He's phenomenal in the ring. He does have great personality with his body language, with his mic skills. Everything can be fine-tuned. But I do hope that this is a coming-out party for him. Like, he even needs more of a coming-out party, which is crazy. But I do think that this is going to be huge for Dragon Lee and Santos, especially because this is their real opportunity to be shining on the Mania card alongside Rey Mysterio, who is a Hall of Famer and an icon, and Dominic Mysterio, who has just been really spectacular since he turned heel. I am big fan of Dirty Dom and what he's done. So this match is going to be great, I think. And I'm going to go with the heels. I'm going to go with Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio winning by what I will assume will be shenanigans. Hopefully that is not a recurring theme throughout the two nights, because there are a couple matches here that I'm expecting shenanigans to happen. So hopefully we're not overbooked in this match. But I expect some at least outside the ring shenanigans and a possible Carlito turn. I see Carlito costing Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee the match, giving it to Santos Escobar and Dom, officially joining Santos and Le Fagata del Fantasma. Like Legado del Fantasma. I want to botch that. But either way, I do see Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio winning that match. All right. We have Bianca Belair, Naomi, and the brand new, recently debuted Jade Cargill with an entrance that is just impeccable, perfection, personified. You can't take your eyes off of whoever it is stepping out of that spot, stepping into that spotlight. I should say, stepping into the shadow, flexing, and not staring at them. And then when the lights turn on, you see that it's Jade. You're just enamored. Super duper star. She's in the ring with two other women who are super duper stars on her team, that being Naomi and Bianca Belair. They'll be going up against Damage Control members Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. The latter two are the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. So we'll see what this result will bring for those belts. But I see this as being the faces going over. I'm going to cut right to that before I talk about anything else. Bianca, Naomi, and Jade go over. I see them going over emphatically. I see Jade hitting some spots that are going to wow the crowd. Bianca as well. But this is going to be a showcase for Jade. But I don't think that it's going to be possible to take any shine away from the other five women in this match. They are all that good. But this is absolutely going to be Jade's opportunity to shine and show why she's worth the hype, why she's worth the dollars, why she's worth the incredible entrance that they have invested in for her. And she's going to do it. No doubt in my mind she's going to rise to that occasion. She's going up against three of the best in the business in Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. They can make anybody look great, and they can make the great look perfect. So in defeat, they're going to look very strong. I do believe that. They have done too much work for Damage Control to look weak in a loss. With that being said, I really, really, really hope they do not look weak in a loss. I'm curious to see if there's any turns in this match. There are some wild cards, mainly Bianca Belair and some of the attitude that she had shown in previous weeks. And the other thing I would say with this build would be that it is entirely rushed, thrown together in last week on SmackDown. So we'll see what develops the SmackDown before WrestleMania Night 1. I am recording this before WrestleMania, so I can't tell you what's going to happen, what happened, but has happened, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure they'll give some good time to develop some more layers to that story. But no matter what, they didn't give it full justice. However, we're going to see it told in the ring, and I'm very excited about that. The faces go over Bianca, Naomi, and Jade. Possible heel turn by Bianca. I could absolutely see that happening. Ooh, the next one is going to be a car crash of an event in ways that are just awesome. Six-pack ladder match for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships. Whew, the champions, Judgment Day members, Damian Priest and Finn Balor, they're going up against Awesome Truth, that being The Miz and R-Truth, going up against DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, going up against New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, going up against New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, going against possibly A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. I say possibly, because the dirt sheet's dirty. Let's get dirty. Suggest that Pretty Deadly might take the spot of A-Town Down Under. I like it entertainment-wise, because A-Town Down Under is just grating on me, and they've done nothing for them, and that's why they're grating on me. they've done so much work, these two young men, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. They've done so much, and they have taken every bump that they've been given. They look like they've given everything they can to all the scripts that they've had to read. So it's unfortunate that they have not gotten over in the slightest. No matter what, it's just not going to happen, and this match is not going to help. So hopefully they do get substituted out. Again, unfortunately, I hope for that. Repackage these kids, figure out something else to do, because it's just not working. And they did so much work this year. They deserve to be there, but I could see them being replaced out, switched out. All right, so with all of that being said, let's talk about the spots that we're going to see. DIY, the quickness that they show in the ring, the fluidity. They've been partners forever, being Gargano and Ciampa. I love them. They ran NXT, the black and gold brand. They really did. They carried that promotion on their back. And that's not saying it's because the promotion was weak. The promotion was red hot, and they were still the ones to carry red hot on their back. That's how great they were in their run in NXT. Really, really, truly. Laid the foundation for what are some of the greatest takeovers, NXT takeovers you can watch. Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, Johnny NXT, Johnny Takeover. He was all those things for NXT. So great on them for getting this opportunity, and great for WWE to give it to him considering the work that they put in. The Miz and R-Truth, great throwback team from yesteryear. We're talking, I think, I want to say like 11 years ago, maybe more, where they were a team. They were actually a heel team that went up against The Rock and John Cena during The Rock and John Cena's feud, building feud as they moved towards their first match at WrestleMania in the once in a lifetime that became twice in a lifetime, you know. So they played the great heels. They took over Raw a few times. They ended up getting the roster to walk out on Triple H, who was running the show at the time. I remember that episode. It was the people that stayed back were Cena, I want to say it was Cena, possibly Orton, CM Punk. They all stayed back and had a match while CM Punk was on commentary. It was really, really, it was a really cool episode. But now, fast forward a decade plus, R-Truth has become an icon, was then, and it continues to be an icon, now more in a comedic role. So I think he's going to have some really funny spots that are going to help break up the chaos that we're going to see in a six-pack. That's 12 people in a ladder match for these tag team belts. It's going to be wild. The New Day, obviously staples in the championship scene. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, historic runs with the belts as part of New Day. Big E is the third member of that crew, still recovering from a neck injury. Always wishing Big E health and a quick recovery, and hopefully get to see him back in the ring. I know it's a pretty brutal injury that he suffered, but New Day are staples. In any big match like this, they are going to deliver. They are going to hit spots that are going to wow. They are going to take spots that are going to wow. They are the perfect team to be in a match like this to make sure the younger wrestlers who are there, and there are many, blend in with the style of the vets, and it's going to be fluid in a way that's going to be really, really, really awesome. Again, gotta stress, in the chaotic car wreck of a match that this is going to be. Excuse me 1 second. Okay, so New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, staples, carried NXT UK on their backs, helped establish that brand before COVID, unfortunately, had to force that branch of WWE NXT to fold, as it did, COVID did to so many promotions, and it's going to be wild to talk about what COVID did for decades to come. But NXT UK, while it was up and running, phenomenal offshoot of for NXT, great difference, European wrestling, elbows to the jaw, strong style with a blend of quick movements, Dynamite Kid really developed the blend of techniques over in UK Europe. So UK Europe, NXT UK. Tyler Bate was the first ever NXT UK champion. He beat Pete Dunne in the finals for that belt. Pete Dunne returned the favor and took the belt from Tyler, held the belt for 600 plus days, lost the belt to Gunther. Gunther held it all the way for broke Pete Dunne's record, so 700 plus days, I believe, lost that belt to Ilya Dragunov. He is wrestling as the NXT champion at Stand and Deliver, which is happening, I believe, Saturday at 2 p.m. Maybe it already happened. My apologies if it has. I would love to predict that card. Can't get to it. Too many things to cover in the WrestleMania card, but definitely that show is going to be wild. Back to the tag match, the six-pack. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, such great British strong style wrestlers. Really, they're going to show you some things that are strength based, and but pretty. It's hard to explain unless you're really watching them, or they're watching them against each other as a team. Spectacular wrestlers. I would love to see them take the belt. I'm going to list them in a second. I talked about Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Pretty deadly. They were on the shelf for quite a bit due to an injury to Prince. I forget their names. Unfortunately, they have been out for a minute, and I'm not great with names from the youngsters. Bear with me on that. They're finding their way back into the fold, and they're quick to get reactions from the crowd. So Pretty Deadly would be fun in this match. Young guys, new team that came up pretty quickly from NXT, can blend comedic wrestling, comedic characters with strong, serious wrestling ability, if that makes sense. And we talked about Damian Priest and Finn Balor of Judgment Day. They are the champions. They've held the belts since they beat Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn many months ago. Undisputed, meaning they have both technically, if we split the belts, they have Raw and SmackDown's belts unified. I have a cool idea as to what they could have done to split those belts. I'll get to that in just a second to make sure I described all the teams. Damien and Finn, part of Judgment Day, alongside Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley, who we'll talk about. And she has a huge match, of course. We'll get to her in a little bit. And we have McDonough, JD McDonough, as the thumb on the hand, still not on the t-shirt, but kind of like their lapdog a bit, takes the losses. JD McDonough, we'll see how he plays a factor in this match. Because I do see, hopefully not, because there's already enough people, but this could be a match with another person running in and playing a part. Who do I have to win? So, I'm going to start at the bottom. Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, no. I'm going to go DIY, no. New Day, no. New Catch Republic, no. It's going to come down to Awesome Truth and Judgment Day, I think, and Pretty Deadly, no, if they're in it. I could see Awesome Truth winning these belts. It could be an amazing moment, WrestleMania moment for both of these gentlemen. R-Truth deserves the biggest moment possible. I say give him a main event, big belt, champion, as champion run before he calls it a career. I love R-Truth. I will never speak a nasty word about him. Character, comedic character wrestler or not, I don't care. He is incredible at what he does, and he'll do anything that the company has done asks him to do. He's been hurt once really in his entire career. He's won the TNA championship, the NWA championship, excuse me, while I was part of TNA wrestling. He has accolades above and beyond the 50, 70s, 90 some runs he's had with the now defunct, now retired 24/7 championship. We also have The Miz, who will go down as one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time, no matter where people put him. He'll be underrated, in my opinion. Absolutely terrific. It'd be a real, real fun time to watch them take those belts off the hook. So I'm going to go with them. I predict that they're going to win this match. Again, mayhem, fun, funny. We're going to see a lot in this match. I do have Awesome Truth taking the belts. An idea that I had that I was talking about with a couple people. I don't like the Undisputed concept. I really, really don't. The fact that they had to create out of thin air a belt for Raw, since Roman has the Undisputed belts, It just is sour to me. I don't want to see them do it with any other belts, and the only other belts that are undisputed would be the tag belts. I think what would be a cool idea, especially with 12 people in the ring, two hooks, one for the Raw belts, one for the SmackDown belts. You can become double champs, you can become undisputed, or you can be Raw, and you can be SmackDown separately, combined, I don't care. But that's a way to possibly separate the belts. Now, I know that's not satisfying to see the belts split up in that sense where you don't have a definitive winner, you have two winners. I don't care. Split the belts, and that's the only thing I can think of how they could possibly do it without creating belts out of thin air, which just, like I said earlier, sours me on that belt. It is very damn near impossible to make it relevant. Seth Rollins has been breaking his back quite literally to make that belt relevant. This current storyline and how it plays a factor notwithstanding, it's still considered a out-of-nowhere belt. Similar to what they did with Triple H when the big gold belt came back and Vince McMahon just handed it to him in the ring. Different times. Nowadays, the belt has gained prestige. The championship belts have gained prestige under Triple H's reign as head creative. How do we make Seth's belt important, let alone a tag team championship out of thin air important, when the tag belts are just starting to get some popularity behind them and some forward progress with what Paul, Triple H has been doing as again, head of creative by rebuilding the tag team. Anyway, that's just my booking concept that I think would be a lot of fun. But we're not getting that. We're getting all four belts on one hook. That's going to be heavy to take off. But awesome truth. Let's go get it. I'm going to skip that one for just a second. I'm going to go to the Intercontinental Championship match. Gunther, our longest reigning of all time Intercontinental Champion, going up against the underdog from the underground, the consummate babyface, the always fighting from underneath, Sami Zayn. Can he do it? He doesn't believe that he can. Chad Gable is trying to make him believe that he can. It's a cool story that has been squished into a short amount of build that really, this is a story that could have been fleshed out with a lot more layers, get more family involved. I don't like family being involved, but this could have shown that. They brought the kids' names up. They need to. I think that they could have done that a week or two earlier and showed a little bit more of Sammy at work, at home, trying to blend work in and working for Gunther's match and being with his family, right? Chad Gable is playing a perfect role as the motivator, the Apollo Creed, Rocky III Apollo Creed character, where he didn't win. He's not the one fighting for the belt, but he's going to be the one to help because Gunther is a bigger issue. The belt is too important for it to be held by somebody like Gunther. I love that story. Should have given that at least one extra week, but the characters involved are so good at what they do. Gunther, so much credit for being one so dominant, one so consistently dominant, believably consistently dominant. Whether he's selling the comeback from the underdog, or whether he's just the dominant wrestler, he is complete presence. Everything across the board. Huge fan of Gunther. I see Sammy beating Gunther. Now, I say that because, see, it's hard because I see Gunther moving up to the main event, but again, it's two. I could see him maybe moving over to SmackDown. No matter what, once Gunther loses the belt, he's stepping right into, I think, the number one contender feud to get him into the title scene. It all comes down to who the champion is at that time because Gunther is such a heel and will continue to be, I think. I can see them turning him, but I don't think that they should. I think they keep him the monster heel that he is because that's a very rare wrestler to come through and to be able to maintain the monster gimmick. Not I shouldn't say gimmick. The monster persona and presence while also being able to sell like he's going to lose. Sammy is perfect at getting you to believe that he can beat the big guys. So I'm gonna say Sammy wins, but do not. This is one that I'll flip a coin on. I could see Gunther taking it until a little bit longer to see who what happens with Seth's belt. Also, definitely what happens with Cody and Roman, because Gunther could step over and face Cody, or, you know, if Seth holds on. Lots to consider for once Gunther drops the belt. But I do see Sammy taking the belt in this match. I'm going to go to Jey Uso versus main event Jimmy Uso. Brothers, twin brothers. One-on-one at WrestleMania. This is huge. This is awesome. We haven't seen this kind of with so much emotion and story and long-term build behind it since Owen versus Bret. I believe it was WrestleMania 9. People are going to yell at me if I'm wrong. WrestleMania 9. WrestleMania 10. Whoever, whichever one it was, don't yell at me. I'm forgetful in that sense. Sorry. But this matches that in terms of the emotion that you're going to feel from beginning bell to the end of the bell. What's going to happen when the 1-2-3 is counted? I have Jimmy winning. This is his moment. Main event, Jey. I have Jey winning. The work that he has done, not to take anything away from Jimmy, the work that Jey has done has been just so gosh dang MVP of the past 2-3 years. I mean, holy cow, with the bloodline work that he has done. Let's take that out of the equation, right? And let's just talk about the main event Yeet Jey that he is right now. Watch the crowd as he comes out. They are going bonkers from floor to rafters. People are up and going with him in every movement that he's doing. This is his moment to absolutely blow the roof. There's no roof on Lincoln Financial, my hometown, Philly. What's up, home of the Eagles? Let's go. If there was a roof, they'd blow it off. They're gonna blow the clouds out of the way with the match that we're going to get to see. And again, not just the action, the emotion. Man, I have Jey winning in a very emotional ending, a very tear-jerking moment. You're going to be sitting up going, I don't know what I want to happen. You know, this is brother and brother. I know what has to happen, but just hug, you know? But no, that's not what's going to happen. Solo's going to have to get involved. He's going to be active tonight, night one. Solo has to get involved. I think, I pray that he doesn't. You know what? No, Solo doesn't get involved. This just goes brother versus brother. Younger brother, save him for the main event. We'll get to in just a second. Holy cow. There's a lot to cover. holy moly. So, I have Jey winning. He deserves it for the work he has done. Jimmy deserves this opportunity to be on the big spot again. He was main event night one last year. So, yeah, it's just going to be spectacular. A brother-versus-brother match with this many layers is just going to be great. We have the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley, the champion, longtime champion, versus Becky Lynch. A lot of blowback on Rhea as being a champion who hasn't defended much. I don't mind because of the way that they have established her character. She's mommy. She's over as a heel. She's over as a face if she wants to be. She's cheered and flips them in one line into booze. She is great at what she does in keeping people disliking her. That's the role of a heel. That's the role of a great heel. I'm sorry. That's the role of a heel, and a great heel makes sure that's happening. That's what Rhea is. That's what she does. She's going up against Becky Lynch, who is fighting to prove that she still has it. Fighting to prove that she is better than Rhea because she doesn't think that she is. First time in her career that she's doubting herself, whether she can actually be the best. Fine with the story. It wasn't great until the past couple weeks where they have upped the physicality, specifically Becky towards Rhea, attacking her all over the place. The MMA Hour podcast popped up there and had to get dragged out of the studio. Really doing great work with the social media build for this match. The pull-apart brawl that they had on Raw was terrific. I think that they said the right things in the lead-up to this, and now we're seeing the anger pour over and we have to see them get their hands on each other fully without people in between them. It's going to be a burner of a match, and I cannot wait to see Rhea keep the belt. Yes. Rhea keeps the belt. And I think that she should. I don't think that Becky needs the belt. She's above the belt. Nia Jax, Liv Morgan are somehow floating around. They kind of just disappeared from being involved in this story, which is fine because it was time to center in the story and just make it about Rhea and Becky. I can't imagine any shenanigans, but I wish this had a stipulation, a no holds bar stipulation or something along those lines, barred stipulation, just to open it up to show, you know, really how aggressive these women are and how hard they can hit and how hard they wrestle. These ladies are wrestlers, man, in every sense of the world, and it's going to be terrific to watch. I have Rhea winning, and that's just trying to switch up against the popular opinion. Let's go Ripley. Let's go Mommy. She's always on top. Into the main event. I don't know how much time I can spend on this because there's just so much to cover and so much has been said. But we have The Rock and Roman versus Cody Rhodes and Seth. Seth, the champion of the Raw side, the World Heavyweight Champion, I think it's called. Roman Reigns, the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion. The fact that they call him Undisputed and then also Seth's Belt Championship, it doesn't align. It makes the Seth's Belt feels like the upper mid-card belt. All right, take all that away. The build for this has been bonkers. Aggression, blood, cursing, pull-apart brawls. Is this real or not? Moments, social media blitzes. The Rock has added a new layer of heel that we haven't seen since the Attitude Era. If even since then, I think he's upped that aggression to another level because now he's amazing at acting. But also, he's just amazing at acting. He's a very much better actor. But his whole approach to this has been so great. Okay. With that and the work he's done with Cody, specifically the bloody moment in the rain where he wipes Cody's blood off his face, wipes it on the weight belt, something that Cody brings to the ring. He brings the weight belt, takes it off, gives it to a fan. That's been a staple of his entrance for the big moments. So that's why he's wearing, The Rock is doing that with the weight belt. Wiping the blood on, promising he was going to bring it to Mama Rhodes with blood on it from Cody, that he made Cody spill. Man, what a great moment. I can't wait to see them go toe-to-toe in Saudi Arabia. That's where I expect them to go toe-to-toe. But this match will determine whether Night 2 main event, which is Cody versus Roman, guaranteed for the Universal Belt, will be a Bloodline rules match if the Bloodline beats Cody and Seth. I do have the Bloodline winning. It makes more sense for them to win to add that extra layer of what the hell is going to happen Night 2 to finish off WrestleMania, to close out WrestleMania, not weekend, but to close out the WrestleMania shows, because Monday Night Raw is always in Philly. It's going to be crazy, and with Triple H building that card, night after WrestleMania is going to be back. Last year was atrocious. This night after WrestleMania is going to be crazy. But coming back real quick, the thing about this whole thing has been, despite how much I love it, The Rock is so powerful that he's taking all of Roman's juice away from him, all of it. He's more focused on Cody than Roman has been, but Roman and Cody are the ones who are going to be one-on-one. I love what they're building with Cody and The Rock, but they don't need to have it so focused on between the two of them, without the Roman being involved directly, until after Mania. If you know, he could have done this, really ratcheted it up on his own Monday night after Mania, right? While Cody is wearing the belt. Spoiler alert. And that could build towards Saudi Arabia, which I absolutely see the two of them going one-on-one. This match will have interference. This is where Solo is going to get involved. He's going to be active in this main event and Night 2's main event, no doubt in my mind. So I'm gonna move this along a little bit quickly because we have all of Night 2 to go. And the Roman versus Cody match, now that I confirm with my predictions that it will be a Bloodline match, there's going to be a lot more to talk about there. But I also see Drew McIntyre 100% being involved. Maybe not Solo, maybe they're saving him primarily for Night 2, but I see Solo and Drew McIntyre getting involved to cost Cody and Seth the win. I see The Rock pinning Cody for the win. Maybe some tension there building. Maybe they show some tension between The Rock and Roman. They have to eventually have the two of them wrestle each other. A lot of speculation. Will this be where one turns on the other? I don't know. I do not know, but I'm going to wait to speculate until I get to the main event of night two. Moving along, night two. A little bit to move through in a quicker way. We have Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, going up against the Final Testament, Karrion Kross, and the Authors of Pain, Akam and Rezar, with Scarlett Boudreaux and Paul Ellering. I see the faces going over Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. Unfortunately, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, and it breaks my heart because the build has been so odd. There's been one-on-one matches. There have been tag matches. There's been run-ins. It just feels like the faces continue to really get the win as long as, you know, short of being attacked, you know, by Final Testament during a match. So, unfortunately, I see this as a filler match, and I love Karrion Kross. He's a friend of the show. But this feels very much just throw it in. It's been a time filler for so long on SmackDown. I hate saying this. I hate spending so little time. I was so excited about this because these are six great wrestlers and phenomenal storytellers, which is exactly what I love. Give Karrion Kross some time to build the layers to this character and this stable, and off to the money you will go. I'm a little bit jaded. Karrion Kross, big fan. So I do have Lashley and the Street Profits going over. We'll see if this moves them away from each other, which I really, really hope it does, and it gives both teams to focus on, both stables, focus on a little bit of a story with some more meat on the bone. We have LA Knight versus AJ Styles. Not much has really developed in terms of, well, I mean, they've had their promos back and forth, but I feel like this is more of, let's get them in the ring and let them talk there. I don't think it needed a lot of build other than this feeling of jealousy from AJ Styles being hurt, being put out, I believe, by LA Knight. And then coming back and, you know, as the heel facing a uber-popular LA Knight. I love that. It's a very basic reason to have a feud. You don't need to create layers upon layers in a certain way. This will play out in the ring. I see AJ taking the win. I see both of them unburyable in a way. But I do think that LA Knight wins. I'm switching. LA Knight wins. I'm going with the safer pick in this match because AJ Styles and LA Knight, like I just said, unburyable. But it makes more sense for LA Knight to get this moment for the work that he's done. Again, not taking anything away from AJ Styles, but this will do more for LA Knight than it will do for AJ, and it won't hurt AJ at all. However, it would hurt, not maybe significantly, but it would hurt LA Knight if he takes the loss. So I'm going to go with LA to be safe, but going to be a really fun match. Two stalwarts of Impact, TNA/Impact/TNA. They were both great for that promotion. So to see them get this opportunity against each other in WWE at WrestleMania is really cool. Shout out to TNA for what they helped develop in AJ Styles and LA Knight, then wrestling as Eli Drake. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens, triple threat for the United States Championship. This is going to have the greatest RKO in the history of RKOs. I can't even imagine what we're going to see. I something really high flying from Logan Paul and something bonkers from Randy Orton. Obviously, that's what makes an RKO out of nowhere so incredible and so edge of your seat waiting for it type of moment. Kevin Owens, I feels like the odd man out in this. It's weird to say that because not really. Kevin Owens and Logan Paul have direct issues with each other and have had for several months. They fought each other at Royal Rumble over the U.S. belt. end it with some shenanigans on Logan Paul's side. So there's unresolved issues there, bled into Elimination Chamber, where Kevin Owens just threw Logan Paul around the ring, around the chamber. Logan Paul ignited the feud with Randy Orton by giving him the brass knuckles after taking an RKO and being eliminated. Brass knuckled Randy Orton. Orton gets pinned. He's out. He loses that match. So Logan Paul cost Randy Orton his chance to fight at WrestleMania for Seth's belt. So that ties in why the three of them are wrestling. But Randy Orton kind of feels out of place. Kevin Owens kind of feels out of place. They're frenemies. You know, both of them are untrustworthy, but also, you know, in that moment of trust, good to trust. You know, they're just great at blending both sides of can you trust them or not. We're going to see that explode, obviously, in this triple threat, every man for themselves. I see Logan Paul coming out with the victory. I could also see Randy Orton. Kevin Owens is third in line, in my opinion, as to where this is. But how, you know, with just plain and simple, in terms of where I see this going, Kevin Owens is least likely. I would love to see Randy, because it would just be fun for him to get that moment at Mania, but it makes more sense for Logan Paul to continue to hold it through, hopefully maybe until SummerSlam, until they have somebody that can really get some shine off, you know, from Logan, get some rub from Logan, which is crazy to say. He's a spot fest in the ring, but it's entertaining, man, and he's good at entertaining, so he holds the belt, but this is, again, going to be a really fun, chaotic match that is not going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a watch this dude get the crap kicked out of him until he gets lucky and wins. That's the match I see happening. But it'll be very entertaining nonetheless. We have the WWE Women's Championship match. Io Sky, she is our champion. She represents Damage Control versus Bayley, former leader of Damage Control. She was turned on after she won the Royal Rumble. That's how she punched her ticket for her shot at the championship at WrestleMania, one of the co-main events, one of the several co-main events. So I guess that main event gets a little bit watered down at this point, that word, for WrestleMania, because there's so many. But this match should not be watered down. This shouldn't be considered a co-main event. If The Rock didn't interject himself in this, it would have been very close, in my opinion. They would have given it to Rhea and Becky, but this absolutely would have deserved, if it was the main event last to go on in night one, it would have made sense and people would have been happy about it. The build was very slow until it got hot, got very, very hot over the past 3 or 4 weeks. 3 weeks, I'd say that like 3 weeks. The built-in drama of her team, the team that she built, the team that she put together, all of them were talking behind her back for months, finally turned on her. It's her chance to get revenge. It is Bayley's chance to get her opportunity. This is her. She deserves this. As part of the four horsewomen of wrestling, that being Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, now outside of WWE, she is Mercedes Moné, and Bayley. The four of them came up, and while the women's wrestling revolution was already in motion, they really put the pedal to the metal in pushing women's wrestling to become wrestling. Just happened to be women doing it. So good for them, and good for all the women involved in WrestleMania. Maybe I'm kissing up to them, but they deserve to be kissed up to. They deserve to be idolized for the work that they've put in over these years, and especially Bayley. Phenomenal opportunity for her. She gets her WrestleMania moment. She will win this belt. There will be shenanigans. So I don't know how many matches I said that. I expect something here. But no matter what happens, Bayley takes this, and it's going to be a moment that's going to be absolutely spectacular. On to the World Heavyweight Championship. Seth Rollins, our champion, pulling double duty at WrestleMania. Two matches over two nights versus Drew McIntyre, who has been on fire as a heel. He has carried this feud. He is smug. He is dastardly in every word that can describe somebody that is despicable. The way he's been burying, literally on merchandise, burying CM Punk, bragging about how he hurt CM Punk. CM Punk being involved in this feud, although he's hurt, has been really cool. It has helped add some intrigue to something that hasn't really had it because Seth has been so involved with The Rock, Cody, Bloodline, Roman Reigns, tag team drama, and all in playing second, third, fourth fiddle, actually, in that storyline. I'm a little bit bitter about the way that they've treated the belt, let alone Seth, but whatever, we're going to get to this, and we're going to focus on the fact that Seth is going to come in injured. I think that Drew plays a factor night one. So him to come in and you know, the vulture picking the last little bit of meat off the bone that is Seth Rollins. It is time for Seth to move the belt over. Hopefully get some, maybe get written out with an injury angle. Get some time to heal up. CM Punk is going to be on commentary, so that, of course, adds layers as to how's he going to be involved with all three members here now. Now we're talking some legit outside of the ring, real life dirt sheet. Let's get dirty heat. I don't even think it's not dirt sheet. It is fact. These are interviews that have happened. CM Punk does not get along with Seth, who does not get along with Punk anyway. McIntyre does not get along with Punk, who does not get along with McIntyre anyway. McIntyre and Rollins, where they have beef out the ring, outside of the ring, I don't think that they do, but they are very sharp with each other. The promo that the three of them had on Raw was apparently very loosely got outlined as to how far they could go with what they said to each other, and it pushed some limits, maybe even crossed some line in certain areas, but for all entertainment purposes, it was terrific. So this has really cool layers. Luckily, Trips made this a very interesting match, despite the fact that Seth feels like the heel in his feud with McIntyre. I've said that in a few episodes. Just the way he attacks McIntyre, and McIntyre is jealous and just, you know, frustrated with people, other people getting in his way. Again, it gets a little bit whiny, but he's not wrong, and Seth is coming off just kind of obnoxious. And kind of silly, again, because of just what he's been putting himself through in the other feud that he's in. So I do hope that Drew takes the belt here and Seth can focus on either getting healthy or something else. He's done the best that he could with the belt. But Drew gets his moment in front of the fans in Philly who will cheer his victory 100%, and rightfully so. Whew, that brings us to definitely over 30 minutes here. Sorry, guys, but this is it. The main event, the WWE Universal Championship, Roman Reigns for his third straight, fourth, fifth, I don't know how many in a row, let alone in across the years that he's been at the main event level. I think it's like 8 out of 10, something crazy. But here he is again in the main event, night two, Cody Rhodes. Championship on the line. It will be Bloodline rules based off of the prediction and expected result of night one, where The Rock and Roman will beat Cody and Seth. This match is going to be another chaotic, emotional. I expect blood. I expect some bleeps with some language. Probably not, because it's a premium event. This is going to be Attitude Era, but more wrestling, more story than even Attitude Era, because Attitude Era is not good wrestling, and decent enough stories, ring stories at least. Everything was done promo work and run-ins then. Don't hate me, true story. This is the golden era, golden, the platinum era of wrestling, in my opinion. Things are just phenomenal, and this is where we're going to see that blend, the Triple H, Cody Rhodes era blend of old school with new school, and everything in between. We're going to see nostalgia. I see Bloodline members getting involved. Who are they going to help? Cody is going to be in there relatively alone. Dustin Rhodes / Goldust. Dustin Rhodes. He's in AEW. Can't be involved. This is going to be wild for what Cody is going to have to experience. I could see Roman winning, and it would be he's going to win in a way that's going to make, like, of course he won. Like, Cody had no other way of winning. What I think would be kind of cool in this scenario, if Roman wins, Cody faces The Rock in Saudi Arabia for another shot, last shot at the belt at SummerSlam. It is not the WrestleMania moment that Cody deserves in that respect, if you're thinking about it in that way. But winning that belt is deserved no matter where he gets it, short of beyond the big two. In my opinion, he'd have to win at Mania or SummerSlam. I could see it happening at SummerSlam. SummerSlam has become the new Mania. Mania has transcended that because it's two nights. I'm ranting. I can see that happening. I think that would be really cool. But I am going to go with Cody. Now is the time that makes sense, especially with what he's going through with The Rock. I see that belt being on the line in Saudi Arabia. Maybe that's where we see Roman and The Rock implode. We see their match. Belt's not needed at SummerSlam. Now we're talking. Now we're carried through, and the two of them don't need to be there weekly to build that feud. And off we're running with being able to move Roman and The Rock away from Cody so he can focus on the weekly players that are waiting to step up and get that main event action. Now is the time to move it, and I think that would be the best option, best for business. I'm going with Cody Rhodes in something that is going to, in a match that we have not seen in a very, very, a couple decades in terms, again, of what we're going to see physically, how we're going to feel the story physically. The tension, the 2 years between Roman and Cody, the 2 years that this has been, and Cody's fight, his story being finally, the story finally being completed. It's real, it's emotional, it's cool, they've done it well. It has not gotten annoying, annoying from Cody. He's played it well, they've played it well. Finish the story. This is going to be it. Roman is known to be stepping back. That's okay. This is where he gets the shine back from what The Rock has kind of siphoned away from him. I hope we don't see a turn here. I hope we see maybe some big, big palpable tension happen at the end between The Rock and Roman. But I do not want to see a turn. I do not want to see one of them being the reasons that Cody sneaks a win or catches a win. However, I do expect that to happen. What I would love to happen, my dream scenario as I finish up this episode, would be Bloodline, like wild, man. I want to see Afa, Sika, Rikishi, Solo's coming out. I want to see everybody. Leah, she's going to be a Hall of Famer. Come on out with the ring. Do some work. I am very excited for this weekend because it is going to be a testament to old school wrestling. We're going to see that with the Hall of Fame inductions. We're going to see that with the matches we're getting. It really has been. Triple H, like I said, has been this perfect middle point of new style with old school story building and ring work. I'm just enamored with the product right now. Can't wait for Mania this weekend. Hopefully you listen to me all the way through. Whew, and hopefully you'll tune in with my reactions. Enough's enough. You've heard me enough. Time to check out here. That was a lot. Thank you for tuning in. Like I said, tune in next week. Like, subscribe, tell your friends. Auto-download. That way you have me for whenever you want to listen. And thank you for John Kiernan, my producer, the amazing artist behind my theme, Into the Fire, featuring Monteasy. He also has a song featured on the Sting Eras album called Neon Warrior. Dedication to Surfer Sting era, available through AEW Music. All that's on iTunes. Thank you again for listening. And with that being said, enjoy the greatest weekend that you can get in wrestling per year. It's Mania, baby. Talk to you soon. Thank you, John. Throw me into the fire. That is Wrestling Podcasts. Bye-bye.